Blog Talk Radio.
Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern. Stop and think about what I have to say. Hear me out, no, don't turn and walk away. If what I have seems kind of bold, well, it's a question that should run deep down in your soul. What would happen if people would sit in churches throughout the world for centuries with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them? Out of respect for man's creator, this is a message of concern. Concern. churches throughout the world for centuries, with the image of an African-American man as the savior of the world before them.
Tell me what would happen.
What would this do?
What would this do?
What would happen to the world's children put under a figure of a particular race? Presented pitiable and in pain, the savior of all men.
Tell me what would happen. Tell me what would happen.
What would this do?
What would this do?
Holy Quran, Surah 3, verse 64 says, say, O people of the book, come to common terms as between us and you, that we worship none but God, that we associate no partner with him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than God. If then they turn back, say ye bear witness that we at least are Muslims, bowing to God's will. God's will.
Humble Satan Majin, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbilai Dameen, Rahman Rahim, Maliki Yomiti, Iyaka Nambudi Akanasahim, Eddin Sirat al Mustakim, Sirat al Ladina Antawalehim, Glory Magdu Bilehim, Walidorin, I mean, we seek protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy, the outcast, in with by the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Allah is the master of the day of judgment in which we all live. Thee alone do we worship and thy aid we seek. Allah, please continue always showing us this great way, the way of those whom thou hast stored your favors on, and not of those who wrath is brought down, and not of those who go astray. Amen. We thank you for joining us for this broadcast radio station coming out of California under the guidance of Hameen Muhammad, And it's also sponsored by Sister Claire Muhammad Film School. We're here tonight to bring some clarity to this world that we have inherited and this world of confusion that must go away and it goes away once the truth has been clear up the lies. It take a lie, it take a falsehood to keep what you see in the world. People are being against each other. And God want all of us to come together and be one. But we never will be one as long as a lie has been told. A lie has been told on God. And that lie is, out of all the people in the world, all the different ethnic groups in the world, God choose one from all the groups and all the ethnic groups in the world. And he chose the Caucasian people to make his son in. This has been a lie that caused all the most of all the darkness that you see in the world. Because once a human being sees somebody else as God or human being, he loses a lot of respect for himself and his kind, and that's what's ever happened. We have very little love for each other. So the truth had to come, and the truth comes to clear up the lie, the falsehood, and spell the lie that God got a son. That's racism planted and promoted by people who want to say God is a race. God having an ethnic background, and his ethnic background is a Caucasian. That's racism at its highest form. God is nothing like in this creation and like under God. And that's the very reason Allah, the Creator, said don't make no image of him. If he's saying don't make no image of him because he know that Allah knows it's going to be a problem, and we see the problem that have caused throughout the country and throughout the world. So we must remove these images out of our mind and our hearts and help those who have the image drop it, get rid of it, so we can all live together in peace on this earth that God has created us and planted us in. So we are tonight evil of that image. And we invite you to come join us. Because when you come join us, that's only going to make what is wrong right quicker. When you join, we work together. And since this is affecting us, African Americans, and people of color more so than anybody else, then we must work together and eradicate this lie. That God got a son. God do not have no son. Mary has a son. And his name was Christ or Jesus, the son of Mary, and not the son of God. All these lies have been given to the world to put the world is in darkness. And the world is in darkness, even though it's bright outside. You can see pretty good. But the moral life is in darkness. The discipline that you're supposed to have is in darkness. And once those things are put in the darkness, then you lose the light that all that the Creator of this creation wants you to have. So we in the night on the Brock Talk Radio Station trying to make sense, trying to get rid of the lies so we can all live and this earth and be happy. Allah want us to be happy. Man himself does not want you or want I or us to be happy. So we're here to please God. And once we please God, then we're going to be happy. So our greatness is peace. When we say assalamu alaikum, we say may God peace be you. Be unto you, and for you to be happy, for the person giving the greeting to be happy. And you can't be happy if you're not in peace. So we here to bring about the peace that's going to make us happy. And removing the image out of the physical building, off the wall, move it out your heart and mind, make you a real happy person, because all that image is up. The racism, that inferiority that it bring about will keep continue to happen over and over again. So we said, let's remove this image out of the world and see God and Spirit and truth. Let's fight the evil scheme of this satanic message that we have been passing out and giving away. A law is too big to be put into an image. And we should make not one, a half of one, and call it the image of God. God has no image. A law lives and he never dies. He have created the human being for one reason, and that reason is to serve the Creator. And taking care of his wife, he takes care of his family, then he is submitting his will to do the will of God. So let me bring my brother up here. I see he done had passed my brother, Hameen Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Can you hear me good?
Yes. Hear you good, yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, hold on 1 second, a little bit. I just want to ask a question. Hey, how are you doing? Yeah, thank you, brother. It's $40. Hold on 1 second, brother. You know, alhamdulillah, I'd like to just, let's see if I can get some, okay, somebody, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we hear you. Yes, sir.
Okay, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. I heard a statistic this morning, because they was discussing this man out here named Kevin DeLeon, one of the racist Latinos who was saying very nasty things about African Americans and natives in the city council. And they was making a point, what I heard this morning, they was making a point about, they said that African Americans here are only 8% of the population, 8% of the population here in Los Angeles, but we're 82% of the people on Skid Row, we're 82%. And I think the point they was making with Kevin DeLeon, he represents that district down there where Skid Row is. And 82% of the population is African American, 8%, but 8% of the population of Los Angeles. And I like to discuss and ask the reason why. Why, you know, I mean, I know as a Muslim, we learn things over the years, and my brother Rashad, he says it's because of the family situation, the lack of a father in the home, and brothers
yeah.
don't know how to role model, you know what I mean, strength. A lot of times we get raised by women, a lot of women, and then we get, you know, that's what Rashad said, but I'd like to hear some other teachers. I know it's the image too. I brought up to Rashad, I said, well, the image too, you know, image, it, you know, maybe especially the image, but I'd like to have somebody to spout on that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Okay, we will. Then we'll bring Brother Two Job and let him start spying on that. All right, so I'm making Brother Two Job. Brother Two Job.
Well, thank you, Salam. I heard, brother, the point that he said was made. You know, that's a real concern. Not only you brought up a good point about the mail. The mail is the target, and that's really, I don't never get into no conversation. I don't try to participate in the sense when we had the masthead or something like that, and they'd be trying to divide the brother up and try to pit the sister against the brother, you know, and try to down the brother. This is a fact. The African American male is the same target during the time of Pharaoh. You know, and if you check out the prison, you'll find out that you find out the percentage of African American males that is young people that is in prison. Akbar, you know that because you teach at the prison. But the prison is business have got so strong that they got it on Wall Street now. But for as African American getting a job or something like that there, it ain't like it used to be. It's worse than it used to be. Put it that way, it's worse than it used to be. We know we're supposed to be doing for self, but African American, you know, is real low on the scales of employment. You know, they don't have jobs for African American no more. You know, the most of people that's getting the job is the homosexual and the female. They got most of the job, brothers. I'm pretty sure it's like that in California. I know it's like that here in Louisiana. You know,
what's your job?
Majority of the people, yes.
What do you mean by Wall Street, though? You said something about Wall Street in the beginning.
What I was saying about Wall Street, they have, when they be on Wall Street talking about the finance and everything, on when something goes up and come down, a business goes up and come down, you know, they got the prisons on Wall Street. Because this is a good business.
It's a
money making business.
Right, money making business. Uh-huh. Right.
Most of prisoners is not owned by, people think it's owned by the state, you know, but it's not owned by the state. It's private owned.
Mm-hmm.
It's private owned, and it's a substitute for slavery. You know, a whole lot of these things, I can't detail it. I don't know some of the things that have been produced out of prison, but there's a whole lot of product that's been produced out of prison that is sold to the public. You know, retail cost, and they get it for free labor. You know, they don't have to put up no money. You know, they got prisoners that does that. You know, so the job. You look at the jobs, and you look at the way that the people here in America make their money. I'm gonna say this: racism, the Ku Klux Klan. It's really got sparked off because they didn't want black peoples to get their job. They think that the jobs out there that is been is available is their jobs, and they was claiming, and you can sit, do some research on it. They think that the jobs out there was taken by the blacks. they think that we was taking their job, and so they became Ku Klux Klan. You know, they thought that they was fighting for the interests of their family and saying like that, and said they thought they have a right to kill them. They looked at us as slaves. They don't think that we deserve, the opportunities and be able to have, work and get money, to take care of their families the way that they take care of their family. You see, so that's what he is right now here in America. They don't have no problem with black people's other nationalities. Is unemployment. They got programs set up right now where people that makes a little money, they got programs where they got it set up where they give them a little here and a little there. They can get a little welfare. They got this Medicare thing going. They got this here. They got all these different programs going right now. They kind of lure you in and tell you that you can get stimulus. You can get stimulus. All you have to do is qualify for it. And when you call and when they fish you in, they got you done all the. A whole lot of calendars and different things. They got you hooked up, And many times people is paying money that is coming out of their account, and they didn't agree to it. That's when they say don't give them your account number, your social security number. And different things like that, because these people use these things to hook you up, and African American gets in a desperate situation where they try to make money. They think that they're getting a break and they ain't getting a break. Just me, I get so upset when a person talk about. When they think that African American is getting reparation, they get upset and say, "Well, they ain't gonna do it. They gonna throw it away. They gonna do this and do that." These African American people, they the only one out here that really deserve reparation. It's the whole African American people is the target, and the one that is the main target is the male, and the male is you all know about it. I mean we've been trying to get programs together where they can get into business. We've been talking about we supporting each other and things like that. We're trying to get that all that started, But they are intentionally keeping us out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the male. The male is the one that's supposed to be the breadwinner. That's one of the things that's going on. They by right. And the people that got jobs and got business and things like that, that's a blessing. Mm-hmm. They got to work mm-hmm. with it. They got to figure out how to make how to get their brothers and sisters employed, so their money can have some power. So they can get some power. If you got other brothers got money, for one time that they might run out of money, they might need something from their brother. If you try to get it from these banks and things like that, you ain't gonna get it. So that's my answer, to that question that Brother Amin was asking, you know, I think it's true that if we do, and that may not be the real information. It might be worse than that. You know, it might be worse than that. But I know we're in bad shape. Our people and the mail, we in bad shape because we don't support each other. You know, not right now. My wife want to say something. I should not.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I was going to say the solution, back today, the solution to the problem is that we need to educate our young men. And also what we did is doing back in the days, we had trade schools. We had trade schools to teach them. So you have to teach them how they're going to know. And you have to remember, they got their pumping those drugs out there. Everybody community, right. Our community, the only community in the United States, name a community, Chinese, Mexican community, or either a Caucasian community that got cracked out. I was the only one. So those are the things that you got to know, that the generation, our generation, the ones like us, our age, like out there, they got cracked out, and some of our Muslim children got caught up in there too. So that's the problem. We have to educate. So that means that there's no one to educate, to tell them like I'm telling them now. But you need to, we build trade. Go to the counselor. You can go to the counselor, whoever it is of your city, and they can build that up. You can request that to give that. If they have that problem, you can request that to give those brothers and those sisters or have trade schools. That's when they closed down the trade school. When they closed down the trade school, then that was the problem. That was the problem because, see, what it is that because they feel like now they got the Chinese, the Mexicans, and all them, they'll do the work. And everybody talks, oh, the Mexicans, they do work and they do this and do that. But they who brought the drugs into the country? Who brought the drugs off that border? They did. So that's the problem right there. We got power. We can do that. Allah says that he ain't made no human being superior over the other. They got the same thing that we got, the same thing that they got. And that means we could do what they do. All we have to do is educate our own people. That's all we do. They doing it. Ain't no such thing. They try to make it seem like when we come together that it's a sin that if black people come together, we are prejudiced, all, you know, all that negative stuff when we come together. Because I remember they used to break us up when we'd be sitting on the corners and talking and stuff like that out here. But they children be out there hanging around. So that's what unity is, power and education. That's what we have to do. Leave them alone. And do for ourselves.
And one of the things you can see where they're effective is they got that homeless thing going. It's powerful. You know, they're in Seattle, Washington. I stayed in Seattle 8 years.
Oh, hello, how are you? Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
You
got to
take care of business.
Hey,
yeah. Anybody
I can take it from, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I'm trying to back up to you,
but the question is, I do speak to parts right there. Hold on, man. Hold on.
Are you there, Egba?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Only they find no proper road,
himself in, comes from TV to movies to rap. All this. We know that. We see what they get into. The prison, all majority of officers are getting. And that's the fact. The design to put the population somewhere. All the stuff somewhere. So all praise is due to Allah. So this guy is close on the net, but we better home with a mother and father in that home is one of the cures for that problem.
Right.
And so they did sadly, but it gets busy promoting relationship between a man and a woman and taking care of the children. Is there no manual come with a man on how to take care of a child or a woman? They gonna have to find their way by searching the books and praying, and that's working. That's being kind. That's being good to that child. So we can cure that problem. That problem can be cured and solved in no time. I'm doing like that, but
you know, I see they got another program that come on. Come on television where they interviewing young people out on the street.
Hoes.
Huh?
Interview them hoes out there on the street.
Okay. No. These young people got children, and they done left home. And things like that, and they tell us they tell the whole story.
And
they give the whole story, many of them is trying to work. Yeah, you got some of them out there prostituting and things like that because they on that drug. A drug got them doing whatever they can do, you know. But they interview them out there on the street, and most of them is young folks. Most of them is young. You know, a street interview. You know, that's coming on now. It's coming on regular on YouTube.
I hope for what they say, solution to that problem. What's that?
Well, they when they be interviewing them, they just be getting information so other people can hear it. They haven't really brought no solution. We the only one that's bringing solution. Telling them things that we need to do. You know, they're not talking about coming together. You know how black people are out there on the street. You know, they not talking about coming, uniting and coming together. You know. They just talking about how they surviving.
Yeah.
That's all they talk about, is how they surviving. You know.
I just want to say, something about what you just said, Akbar. You're right. That one of the problems is that there's no male in the house. Allah made an order, man. And woman, you know, and then I thought about it when you said it. I said, yeah, you know, he's right, because here it is. How our sons going to know how to be a man if there's no man in the house?
Well, how do you be a man in the house?
No, I'm just saying.
He's taking no job. He's taking his family. I ain't going to be a man in the house.
Oh, you got to teach it. That's why you're
running my job.
Your job. That's why you got to do for self. That's why we got to teach our children to do for self.
Know my daddy
told me that they took one thing they took away from us during the time of slavery, they took away from us, is that what they did, he said they had a tradition. All African-American had a tradition is that before your child leave the house, they have to have a trade. They teach them a trade, whether they use it or not. And that way that when they go out there and be working for somebody that they don't have another job, then they could be able to do something for themselves. They could be able to create a job for their own self. Go out there and do this and do that.
That's
right.
And they wouldn't be out there.
What I'm saying is that, and also a lot of, and also you never know, like you say, you never know what goes on into the house also. So, but the main thing is, do you need that male in the house? And that's why I say you don't go around just having babies. And you know, if you don't like the woman, don't be up there laying up there with that woman and then getting her pregnant.
You out there, oh, ain't got nothing. Anything
happens. That's right, yeah. Shuja. Anything can happen. Right. Anything can happen when you're out there and poor. But I'm not talking about, I'm trying to give a solution to the problem of why sometimes the people are out there. Sometimes they're out there for different reasons. But you're supposed to, what I'm saying, our duty as a parent, we're supposed to teach our child a trade so when they go out there, they could be able to do for themselves, even if they work for somebody.
You told me that all the parents was drugged out here in Baton Rouge.
I'm talking about, yeah, they drugged out now. But the majority of them are drugged out.
Well, how do you know, teach the children?
That's one thing I'm telling you. They drugged them out.
So think about the church.
So you want to know the solution now, you're saying? The solution now, you still need to get up some trade schools so to teach those children and teach the ones that wants to, wants to work and that wants to be educated, and they're out there.
Right.
But they ain't got nowhere to go. So that's what you got. You got to educate them. You got to teach them a trade. Teach them a trade. We had all kind of trade schools out here, but when we would start getting so scrawled, the Caucasian man, they was funding it, and then they were shutting it down.
Yeah,
so I'm telling you, that's the truth. Education.
They were teaching trades in school, like plumbing, electrician, carpenter, brickman.
That's right.
They were teaching how to repair. And they were teaching the young girls to how to cook at home and how to take care of their clothes and how to wash their clothes. It was all that. They took all that out of school.
They talking about closing the school down and teaching the children at home.
Yeah, homeschooling.
Yeah, homeschooling.
The homosexuals. I
told
them
I'd keep
it
mind out of school, too.
You know what I'm saying?
It's messed up. Yeah, Satan is messing it up worse. Look at the country. We need to learn the Constitution of the United States, our civil rights, our human rights, our community rights. We know those rights.
We don't have no time
education.
For blaming different people, the daddy or the mama or the children. We got to get it together.
Yeah, we
don't have time blaming nobody. Because while we blaming each other, you know, other people is organizing and they getting together. And we're going to put ourselves in a dependent situation. Our grandchildren going to be in a dependent situation.
I'm afraid that that has already happened. We are in a dependent situation. Okay, alhamdulillah. Sister Karan, you want to give elaborate on that?
She's doing some coughing.
I do no coughing.
Elaborate
on what, Brother Akbar?
The way you see it, since you're a mother, can you elaborate on that?
Elaborate on what?
You know, children in jail. 8% of the population in California, 8% of the population of African American. But they 86% behind bars.
Let me tell you what they did for the children. There was a time when the children was in jail, they couldn't come out unless they had a trade. If they didn't have no trade, they would not let them out of their jail house. And so I'm telling you, that's what it is. We have to educate our children.
In jail?
Yeah, I said down in Louisiana, you couldn't come out of jail unless you had a trade.
Well,
who's going
to be that nice to educate?
Shuja, that's what they had. You got your money. You got rights. That's what it is. We don't know. See,
The thing about it is you don't even know your human rights. You don't know your civil rights. You don't know the amendment, and you don't know the Constitution of the United States, and they fought that.
I know.
How you think that we got some of these people become mayors and all that is because they knew their rights. They knew to vote. All you have to do is vote them in. And you vote. That's what the main thing, too, is the majority. You remember, like you said, who's going to cross the river? The one going to cross the river is the majority. The one that said, well, we're going to use this. They said, no, we ain't going to use this. Then the one that said, you're going to use this, that's the one that's going to cross the river. Imam said he made a mistake. It's in the numbers. It's in the numbers. It's the majority. That's what I'm talking about. Know your human rights, your civil rights, and you could and your constitutional rights, and what you could do. How you think we did all this before? Because our people knew their rights. We got rights, and you got your community rights. Certain things, them drugs and stuff, them guys in the neighborhood, you don't have to put up with that. And the ones that got all them stores that ain't giving back, you know, they can't even. They got something you have to. You got to have a store up in there because you have that right. How you going to have a community and you ain't got not one store? If the city is supposed to make something so you can have that store. If you come there, you say, I have all this plan and I want to do so and so. That's what it is. We got to stop giving Satan that power, and you got to have unity and education. That's the problem right there. Once we know our civil rights, our human rights, our community rights, that's all we have to know. And what you have, because you have all that. How you think all that? We got more. But we ain't using it. The Mexicans and Chinese using it. Because we are not using it. That's what it is. I'm telling you, that's what it, check it out. That's what it is. We are not knowing our human rights. That's how we got those trade schools and all that stuff built up. They could do that. You could do it. But you got to have a plan.
It's only one program that we have in our community dealing with people rapping about this violence, rapping about selling each other dope and everything and all like that. We only have one program. A sister up in Oakland got a program. In our community, man, we got all these great people, man, orators and people who could teach this religion, and they don't address the gangster rap and how these youngsters, man, be talking crazy to each other and selling each other dope. Telling each other, you know, we sell dope and all like that. And they ain't sell it to nobody but their own people or their own girls, the girls, and, you know, and brothers. I mean, golly, Yeah, but anyway, I wonder.
I mean, if you got that connection, well, next time they get up there and say that, when you got that connection, you go to that meeting, next time they go up there and talk about that, say, well, let's talk about business. Let's talk about educating our people and putting up trade schools. Our kids, everybody is not all that, could go to college. All of us not college, you call it college people. But we do good work. We make good work doing with our hands. So we need trade. That's what they're telling. Tell them to build up some trade schools. And I bet that'll stop all that rapping and stuff. Put up some trade schools and see what she say then. See what she said when you tell her, let's put up some trade schools and so we can educate our children and see what she say. Then you'll know that if she don't say nothing about that, then she knows she's up there just for the money, getting paid like everybody else.
Well,
you want to say something too, Kyle?
What's the problem with that?
My wife,
no, that's that time on it.
All right. Well, I know what these people is doing out here. And I think we the only one got them. We got a few people in the community is trying to do something. But we know our enemy, brother. We know that. That's right. We know that this money that we are paying for taxes and things like that. We know this money is going in ways that it don't supposed to be going.
Yeah.
Like they are spending all these billions of dollars with Ukraine, you know,
yeah.
in the military and things
yeah.
for them. And I'm talking about billions of dollars. And they see that we are suffering the way that we are suffering, you know. They don't care nothing about it. And then they got Negroes that they're giving them, keeping them in a car and a little house, something like that, you know. And probably help sending their children to school and things like that. They going along with it.
Yeah.
So we got to start something. We got to spark a fire. We got to do something. Pray to Allah that we can start a fire and just get some of our young people started in business. If we can get some of our young people started in business, you know, it's not about us making the money. It is about us making money. You got to have the money, but it's also your brothers and sisters. That's when they get scared of you. When you got too many of us making money, you see, and that's what they stopping. This is what the system is stopping. Is us getting? I mean, 40 and 50 people, and 60 and 70 people getting jobs and things like that, and working and able to pay the bills and things like that, and then some of them figuring their way out of that situation.
I work $40.
Yeah, they're going into business. Some of them going into business. They figuring their way out of things. They figuring their way out of this. And that's what we got to do. We got to keep on and try to influence our young people to go into business. And we got to support them. Like this brother that we buying black or we selling. It seems like he's trying to do something. Like Brother Amin just talking about some sister is doing something, you know. So we got to support each other, and like we should be able to go to places like Moscow to get us support, help us kick off a business, and tell them how we gonna pay it back, how we gonna strive to pay it back. You know, they write that off, you know, on their income tax. You know, but we should go to Moscow and get $80,000, $50,000. You know, to start up a business, and when the business gets started, you know, we help them. But if they don't help nobody, it's going to be things as usual. It's going to be things as usual. It's going to keep us out here trying to get it together. Keep us out here trying to get it together. But if you people got that money, you know, I don't like way nobody talk to me. You know, people got money. You know, if they talk to me funny a little bit, I ain't going to talk to them no more. I don't like to talk. I don't like to deal with people that got money. You know what I mean? They act like you're a fool. You know. I don't like to talk. I'm serious. I want to get it myself. I want to have some money, but I'm not going to treat people that way. I'm learning something from them. Yeah. 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 We get Akbar. We got to keep on keep and pray that a lot better to get BUII together and successfully and get in a situation where they got to get, where the government has got to give us some of that tax money.
Yeah, that's
you see what I'm saying? That's the hope. You know, and like my wife said, and when they give it to us, they ain't doing us no favor. That's our own money. You know, so, but we got to get in that situation. We got to get in. We got and so, can show them what we taking care of senior citizens and things like that, and what we're doing. You know, and we got drug stores in the building. And we're working with senior citizens where they are more livelier, you know, they are healthier, you know, have information where you can play with what's going on out in the community, out in the society, and then when you ask for some money, it'll be kind of hard for them to turn it down. If they turn it down, we want to know why. Because they got trillions of dollars. They got the money now. We got to figure out how we're going to get it. So we got to set up ourselves right in order to get it. We got to put ourselves in the seat. I'm telling you, we smart. They know that. We're going to figure it out. You know, alhamdulillah.
I want to say one more thing, one more key thing. If you don't plan, you plan to fail. And that's what we have to do. You have to have a plan. When you come before them, you have to have a plan. And you go by that plan. Like one time a person asked me, he said, how is when y'all was in California that y'all were so kind of, y'all was successful in doing that leadership, the testimonial, benefit dinner? Because we became successful. We became so good that people requested us. And to do their help them with their benefit. How that happened is because we always had a plan, and we went by that plan. That's what we did. We always had a plan. In California, yeah. It was that. That's what we had. That benefit dinner, boy. We made it. People, the immigrants were
big money.
Yeah, the immigrants was requesting us to do theirs because they would, because ours was so successful.
Yeah.
That's because we planned it. We made a plan out for what we're gonna do, and we went by that plan.
That's how y'all bought that mass
jet? Yeah, I don't know about how they bought the mass jet. They got I don't know how they bought all that. I just know that when we was doing our business.
But what did y'all do with the money?
I don't have nothing to do with that. I left Los Angeles. I left Los Angeles. So I don't know nothing about all that.
I do remember.
What do you got to say?
I do remember Imam Muhammad years ago saying that he much rather loan money to help finance a business, a brother who's in business, who got you know what I mean, who know how to cook or whatever, run a restaurant, whether steak and take or fish fry or something. As much as we like fish and chicken, you know what I mean? I be looking around for halal chicken place. The closest that me and Rashad got one time, we found one at Huntington Park, and he went back to Christianity. He stood up for about, looked like about a year. He's an animal or something, or somebody. But anyway, I won't be negative. Muhammad used to talk about funding certain brothers who had, you know what I mean, who had the skills to run a restaurant. You know, I mean, if we don't have no place to eat, like out here in L.A., man, we ain't got no place to eat.
No type
of fish market. I don't know what in the heck is going on, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. But I do remember my say he much rather finance a brother instead of just giving somebody just wants a handout. He's coming to the masjid because he's trying to go to the masjid and get him some money because he want to, you know. Now, if he's sick or something, that's something else.
Yeah.
Or his family's sick. Okay, yeah. But he must rather finance someone who could make money for himself, his family, and for the community, you know. I do remember Imam Muhammad saying that.
I think that the people right now in our community don't want to ask nobody for no money, because the one that's out here that has, the one that in leadership position, they are the one that's getting the money, and they don't. If you cut into what they're getting, then they gonna flow show with you. They gonna act like you the biggest hypocrite in the world, the biggest traitor in the world. You know. But they trying to get money every day. Every week they trying to get money. But if you try to get some one time and see how they treat you. One time. That's a fact. One time. You know, you got many of these sisters and brothers, you know, they're starting all the way from the bottom. They're starting all the way from the bottom and establishing themselves. You know, they don't want it. We know that we can get money from our brothers and sisters in the community with support us. But that would be taking money out of the hands of those imams. You know, so the brother that's in the community that would support a brother that got a business like you saying, and would support him, you know, the brother don't ask him for nothing. The brother won't ask him. Won't ask him for a quarter. Yeah. So alhamdulillah.
Okay. I just want to say one more key thing, too, to our brothers, what we were taught, and then you can remember. He said, the majority behind a great man, there's a great woman. So our brothers got to stop choosing women that don't have the same interests that they do. You got to choose a woman that have the same interests that you do. Don't just because she look good and she got money and all this like that. No, the majority of the people that you see that stand together for years, they have the same interest. And that's the majority of them to do. They have the same interest. And so I'm just telling you, that's what you have to, that's one thing I'm saying. I'm not, you know, all the other good stuff that comes behind it and, you know, and El Islam too and all that stuff like that. But you have to choose a woman that have your same interest, especially if you want to go into business. Who do a pimp choose out there? You don't choose no business woman. He choose the one that want to go out there and make that money. Alhamdulillah. Speak out. I don't speak out too much.
I hope I made the right decision. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, but we got to come together, brother and sister. I think it don't take but a few. Slave masters, it didn't take no whole lot of people. Just get the slave masters in Mississippi. They had slaves, but it was just few of them that had a whole lot of slaves. But you guys had people with few slaves and got rich, filthy rich. I think if we get together and put that money together and see what we can do, you know, I think the mistake that we make with each other, we had to realize that some of us is poor. All of us, you can't get the same amount of money from every one of us, you know, but you can put it together where the person got the wood to catch up. You know, the one that don't have it. How much money you want to put it in? Okay, we want to get $3,000. We want to get $5,000 from each person. This person said, well, man, I don't have nothing but about $300. Okay, how you take that $300 and set up a plan where this brother can be able to pay that money where it'll come up to $5,000. You know, you see what I'm saying? But it's the same thing, the business might jump off quick. So he'll have an opportunity really to pay that back. You know. And because he used to living without hardly any money, a certain amount of money every month. You know, he only thing he had to do is discipline himself to keep on living for that certain amount of money. And he's getting a little bit more because he got a cash flow coming in. You know. And pay that $5,000. But you know, African Americans don't even have that opportunity. We don't even have that opportunity to invest in no business. We don't have that opportunity to invest in no business that has a possibility, that has a possibility for us to later on to get a cash flow. Ain't nobody showed up.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you. I just wanted to ask a question.
No, it's okay.
How is the population back, say in Baton Rouge, Now, out here in California, it's what? Look like 90% Latino now. They run everything. I mean, you know, God bless them. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? They run, they're all over. Brother, they run this thing, and they are so powerful that they can talk about you like a dog and stay in office.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you see what's going on. I ain't trying to talk no race talk, but you can see how powerful they are. They could be in office.
They talk
about are you a monkey and all like that, and stay in office. So you know they're powerful. Now, that wasn't my point. My point is, what is the population like in Baton Rouge and places? Is Baton Rouge an African American city? Because it seems there should be some restaurants or something in places like that where the population, the majority population, is African American.
When I left Baton Rouge in 1968, and when we was growing up, we had all the stores. I ain't never been in Walmart until I got to Los Angeles. Or Kmart, they had it out here. I never been into those stores until Caucasian store until I came to Los Angeles. Because we had our own business. Yeah, we had our own business. All those stores we had was our own. What happened was that they put that crack in the neighborhood. See, they didn't put marijuana in the neighborhood. The first thing they did, they put heroin. Because I remember one of the little young lady I know that she was on heroin. I said, heroin? And I said, that was the strongest thing that was there on heroin. You know what heroin is. You already know what that is. That's what they put in the neighborhood. But that was it wasn't moving fast enough. So they put that crack in there. And they cracked everybody out. When I came back, I was talking to my brother. I said, well, what happened? He said, every house was selling dope. They had one place they called a hole, where they sell marijuana, and then they had another place they called a section they called Niggerville, where they were selling a crack. Mm. And everybody got on crack. Remember, we was talking to that young lady. She said they got grandmothers, uncles. They cracked our whole families. So who was teaching the children? And that's how they came in, and they made sure that every parent that had a store, because all the stores was African-American stores, they made sure that all their children got on crack. They made sure that they got on it.
And that's what's the problem. They allow that stuff to come into the neighborhood. And because I remember times that we should, they didn't have, you couldn't even walk down the street drunk. If you go on the street, they'd get to arrest you. So I'm just telling you, so that's what happened right there. So now, but we have African American neighborhoods, but we don't have no stores. But that's going to change because I'm bringing out the newsletter, Abdul El Haq. And that they're going to let our people know their community rights. Because that's where we're buying property. And then I looked up in the neighborhood, everything's in red.
What do you mean by
everything? Ain't nobody don't know this. All they have to do is stay in their house. And they don't have to pay taxes. That's how they get their houses. They don't know they don't have to pay taxes. Just go down there and file tax exempt because you living in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody just live there. Just put your address and you just come there and visit. You don't have to be there, but just saying that you live there, you know, and you don't have to pay taxes. And they don't know that. And that's how they put that duplicate. All of it's in red.
Baton Rouge. To me, look just like California.
Ain't nobody in there.
And they got so many empty buildings.
You say
that looks
like
California.
In other words, it's not African American majority. No. You said that
Yeah, it's African American majority, but they drugged out.
Yeah.
And the children is affected by it.
Yeah, the children ain't got nobody to teach them. They cracked everybody out.
You know.
I mean, they did it.
But these people, you got a whole lot of originals out here. You got a whole lot of, I mean, people who can, you know, if they had a chance, they would be a good leader.
And
they ain't got no fear in them. But I mean, these brothers and sisters out here, these young brothers, they ain't got no fear in them.
They need to be educated, that's all.
You know,
they don't have no fear in them.
Yeah. Well, okay. They ain't scary. You talk to them, they gonna talk to you like you're a man. And you ain't got 2 minutes brothers walking around here like sisters.
No, not
in Baton Rouge.
They're in my community.
You ain't got no brothers right there trying to be female. You know, and you ain't got no women around here try to be men. Nothing bad and rude.
But
I'll be looking at stuff.
But here's what I'm asking, though. Why can't we start businesses? And I mean, it's hard to start a business when the population is not your own people. You know, our people like chicken and fish. Chicken and fish and you know what I mean, coleslaw and you know the food that we eat. But the population out here is not you know, can't support that type of food. You know. But I'm saying places like Baton Rouge that is majority African American.
Man, they love fish here. They love fish.
Why can't you start businesses back there?
That's what we're trying to do. That's exactly what we're trying to do here. You know,
my question is, what's the main problem then in starting African American majority neighborhoods where
the main problem is money. The main problem is what you say is the main problem?
The main problem is our so-called Asalaamu Alaikum brothers got all the stores and they pumping the drugs into the people.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you got that problem. I don't want to call it the
that
is a problem.
And
I wouldn't say it's the main problem. You got a Middle Eastern brother that set up shop all around here and they selling drugs, they selling alcohol, they selling pork.
And
all that.
They got nothing. They don't have education.
You know,
majority of the people don't even have a high school education.
Yeah. So you have
But you got intelligent people out here too.
Yeah, they smart. No, they smart.
Yeah. Oh, lots of.
They have honor. They have honor. That's one thing. They have honor.
Alhamdulillah. But I think that's one of the main problems. But I mean, is that
education.
They got to get over other people coming in and taking over the community, and the Middle Eastern brothers. They come in, you know, and set up shop. But now I was at the barber shop, and the brother was telling me that they ain't gonna buy from this thing. He was talking about the showdown.
Uh huh.
He said they ain't going to that store. They gonna picket it.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
I didn't hear what you said. You said they ain't gonna do what? Excuse you.
They got them talking where they're saying that they're not going to support those Arabs.
Okay.
They're not going to support those Arabs. Right. They come into the community and see, the brothers and sisters know that they are the ones that's pushing the drug.
That's right.
And they marrying them sisters.
They
so
marrying they get, them.
They're getting them pregnant. So they can get a green card.
Okay.
They're not marrying them, but they say they're marrying them.
Right.
You know, and so they can get a green card. And but they said, and you go into their store and look at their cooler full of hog.
Yeah, I saw.
And alcohol. That's Agbar. We went to one store. I said, Agbar, we're going there. We're going to tell them we're going to be out here teaching. And we was talking to the guy. And in the back of him, his whole back was nothing but alcohol.
I know. Old Taylor, y'all.
Nothing but alcohol. You know.
That's something.
I'm just lying, man.
But it looked like he was. We walked into that place and behind him, we like kind of look at you, Drake, with eyes.
And then this drug and his sister, she was on that crack, and Hank Paul got to teaching about Lil Wayne. His sister, oh no, you don't say nothing about Lil Wayne.
Let me tell what happened to me. So, you know, they had to say they have a drug called Mickey. And I didn't know it sold out because I know out here Mickey, that's a drug that will kill you, you know, during that time. So when I came to Los Angeles, you know, I first came to Los Angeles, I was riding on the bus and the lady was kind of, yeah, do you want some of this here Mickey? I said, Mickey? I said, hey, that will kill you. And she, because they had something to give people Mickey, and it was a drug that would kill you, you know, if they want to take you out real quick.
Yeah.
And I said, that would kill you. And she said, what are you talking about? That was apple. She was talking about wine. I said, I didn't even know what I said.
I'm just lying.
I said,
I'm just lying.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah. But I think if we can get something going, because they are talking about coming together.
Mm-hmm.
They want to support each other now.
That's right.
A lot of making them up. I'm telling you, they want to support that racism.
We don't
that racism. That racism did something to them. You know, even makes the preachers acting different. Everybody acting different now.
Not the racism, but we were glad being segregated.
We
were happy.
So I'm doing.
Anybody got this? Anybody want to? We gonna keep us up where we going. But anybody else got anything you'd like to say? Got a question to ask? You got a full house here. Anybody else that wants to?
Boy, Akbar.
Is there anything? See Brother Rashad.
Well, let me ask this. Let me ask this question. Where do the African American be buying his fish and chicken from? His fried fish and chicken from?
Here in Baton Rouge, they got these dang day Italian, seafood, right there, I played what? I think that was Agbar. That was a Cyberlock game out. When we you know, they done got rich, and guess who they got working? They got the African American working for them, and the sisters they cooking. And they said they got a long line. They got a buffet, and then they got all the different type of fish. You know, where they cleaning them. The most fish they sell out here is catfish. What the other fish? The other fish. You know the name of the fish.
Tilapia.
They sell a whole lot of tilapia, catfish, and there's another white fish that they sell out here. I can't think of the name of it. But flounder is good. Flounder and red snapper and all that is good.
So the people who be selling to African Americans is Degos, Italian, you say?
Most of the people got the little shops around up in here, and they don't have many.
Yeah, I'm talking about fish and chicken.
Okay, the chicken and fish is immigrant.
Immigrants be selling it.
Yeah, they got some sisters working for them back there. They take your money. The sisters take your money.
Hold yourself.
And they got them cooking back there. Didn't have a buffet, you know. And the brothers, they come to him.
You want me to get off?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. That's what we're putting there.
So make them.
What ain't you name?
Uncle Lamb. You got job. Something you want to say? Yes, ma'am. We good. Glad to have you. You got something to say?
Alhamdulillah. Not right now.
Okay.
Another 10 minutes.
Okay. Sounds good.
Allah
Akbar. We're just listening. Still on the road.
Okay.
Allah Akbar.
All right,
we're on track.
They got not one food store down here that I know of.
I'm telling you, I mean, you wouldn't believe it here in Baton Rouge, man.
Not one.
It's just saying,
well,
take me. Take me.
We got it. we've been buying up stuff.
I see a big old place. It look like Cuba. I mean, the building is so it's colorful and pretty. I said, man, I wish we had that for our senior citizen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looked nice.
Well, you know what? Somebody designed that for me. One of the keeps the artistic child.
Yeah.
Made that same design for me.
He drew it. Huh?
Yeah, before they even built up. Before they built it up.
If we get some money. Yeah. That's the first one I'm gonna be talking to, about getting that building. And see, if you all come down here, if we build a big building like that and have about 20 rooms or something like that in the place, and have it where you got a little a place to entertain, a restaurant inside. And all that, you know, and clean parking lots and different things like that. There, then people can travel and they can come there, and we got old folks there, you know, and we feed them properly, you know, and asking any other to come in, we want to take care of you. We want to take care of you. Put a drug store in there and everything, you know. Put a drug store in there so they can get all their medication and everything right there. They can feel secure.
And the drugs that they pumping out now is the kind that don't.
Well, if we got some old folks strong enough to just eat vegetables and soup and stuff like that, and and don't eat no sugar, don't eat no sugar like that. You know, we're going to let them know. But you know how old folks are. They're going to want to eat. You know.
Yes, sir.
And they're going to want their sweets.
Well,
yeah.
So let's keep praying. Maybe that will come. Well, that could happen. All praises and all things.
Yeah.
All credit. A lot.
Yes, sir.
And so some teen churches out here, and nobody in the park go to any of those. They don't even go to church. 13 churches, and nobody go. I count
them. 13 churches where?
In the park. Eden Park. What do we got? We got the property at those lots there.
Oh yeah. We got some land over in there, but
about
13. And she talking about in just that park. She ain't talking about in Baton Rouge.
No, we got more than Baton Rouge. Just a part.
You got to make yourself clear.
And I ain't count all of them. That's the one.
You have people saying we ain't got but 13 churches out here.
No, that's the area we live in. And that's on 1, 2, 3, about 3 blocks. There ain't but 3 blocks, and out of 3 blocks, you got 13 churches.
Yeah.
It's not the building, but it's the lie they put in the building. It's not the building.
That's what you got to worry about.
That's right.
You ain't worried about the church. Yeah, worry about that lie in the church.
That's what I'm looking for, Brother Akbar.
Well, we got the land.
What is the population in Decatur? That's where y'all from, Decatur, Georgia, right?
Right.
What's the African American population in Decatur?
I know it's close, pretty close to a million. I know that.
Yeah, I've been in Decatur. Yeah. Majority African American.
Majority of African American.
That's right.
There you go.
I stayed there 16 years.
There's
open mass going in. Uh-huh. Yeah, black people support black people in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna have that. They support each other.
$40.
Yeah, we $40. Yeah, and most of the business belong to the other people in the world.
Yeah.
We're spending our money with people, mostly Mexicans and Chinese. Some moved into their business. I know on the Cantlin Road, the majority of business is Chinese businesses, along with the Caucasian and the Arabs on the gas stations and on a few restaurants, fish place. But restaurants.
You're right. You said it's true.
One thing I want to say, Brother Doc. Go ahead, Brother Akbar. My apologies. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm going to, I would say, you got it.
No, one thing, I'll just say, one thing we got to remember is they did not get all that land honest. So that means that we could get it back because they did not get it honest. And what I mean, under God's law, that they put that crack in that neighborhood, that means that's the only way they could have got it. They fought below the belt. They gave that to our children, something that was new to them. So that's the problem right there. So we could get it back because they got it dishonest. Oh, that's what they're doing. So that's what I'm saying, we can get that back because that's the only way they got it. We can't be putting ourselves down and giving Satan all that power when they fought below the belt. They didn't get it done because they had the knowledge. They did it, came in with Satan, carrying the flag of Satan.
And then shoot, and you can't be giving Satan that power. Allah said, no, you don't give Satan that power. Allah will act, but Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest, alhamdulillah. That's all you have to keep saying, Allah is the greatest. That's how they got it. They didn't get it honest because we were dumb and stupid. They didn't do that. They got it because they put that crack in there and they messed with our children. And who? And after we got old like this, you know, give them greens and old like this, but we get a straight name, then who and you just laughing. But you know, we can become.
No, you ain't talking about me.
We can become forgetful sometimes. Yes, you do. You can be forgetful with some things that. With glasses. So you be on top of his head. So, but I'm just saying, that's what happened. Yeah, so then we can't be giving Satan that power. No. We ain't because we didn't know.
But we ain't going to give him no power.
Yeah. So we get that back.
Yeah.
And all we do is know our community right.
It's so simple. If you spend all your money with the people that already got money and got their and they business, they can't lose. But if you stop spending money with them and you start spending money with each other, then you can't do nothing but come up. But you can't come up if nobody's buying from you. That's a show us all the process. And that place stay packed all day long. It stay packed. It's called the Vasa. And the Vasa have nothing but mostly our people and people all over the world coming there just by hot dog and hamburger and ice cream. They make buku the money.
I guarantee, before you open up.
The nation had the best fish, had the best fish sandwich, had the best steak, had the best food I ever had, and clean as a pen. But African Americans dragged themselves in there, and the only time they come in crowds was on Fridays and Saturdays. The other time, Monday and then Wednesday, they didn't come in there. Those Muslim men. We have been led away from spending money with each other. And it seemed like when I first heard that the next had a bank, that we had a bank, I was so happy. I was so proud. But I mean, the other African Americans were proud because somebody that looked like them had a bank. So that psychological effect, the image, have killed the taste for us to own and operate anything in our life. That's a shame.
Well, you know, I'm like, it's a restaurant chain out here named Doolin. And it started out, you know, like they are, you know, from Jamaica or something, and the son took over. And you go to Doolin's, and you go. I go in there. I don't eat the meat because it ain't halal. But I eat, you know, hold on one second. But you gonna pay. But you get a big portion of food. They got the rice and they got the mac and cheese and they got the gravy and they got, you know, they sell pork too. They sell pork. I'm just using them as an example. Not that, you know, I would ever sell any pork, but they compete. They restaurant is nice and clean. They got brothers and sisters working in there. Hardly no Latino. I don't know how they get away with it. But it's nice and clean, painted, clean. You can almost eat off the floor. You know what I mean? It's in a nice area. And you're going to pay, you know, you're going to pay $17, $18 for a meal, but you're going to get a big meal. In other words, my point is you got to compete with people. You got to compete. Compete for that money.
That's right.
And you know, it's like It's like the nation. You know, they had a brother out here. He's dead now. But he had a restaurant that my daughter got. He had a restaurant and a place. His name was Rockmon, Black Rockmon. He's dead now. And he used to kind of flirt back and forth with our community and Farrakhan community. But he had a place over in Inglewood that was really beautiful. It was so beautiful that when my daughter wanted to get married, she went in there, and the brother, he had it decorated. You know, he got like, all nice pictures in it. He had this thing about him, about decorating. And, you know, he's a nation. You know, he's a nation brother. And people used to, I mean, you know, he wasn't all that good. He wasn't no goody-goody guy. But he just had that knack for just fixing up and making things look pretty and beautiful. So beautiful that, like I said, my daughter, you know, she's a lawyer now, my stepdaughter, you know what I mean? She got married there. She got married there, man. Well, you know, nights and everything. And my point is, we got to compete with people. You know what I mean? Like Elijah Muhammad, you know what I mean? It's kind of like Shabazz Restaurants was out here years ago, and nice and clean, and you know, had nice pictures on the wall, articles on the wall, and what, you know, of course we don't smoke and drink and we eat hog, and all I'm saying, we just do what we got to do and compete with these people. Say, okay, you know, we're gonna compete for this dollar. We're gonna compete for this dollar. You know what I mean? This African American dollar. You know, we got good fish. We got good chicken, we got good fries, we got yam and cheese, we got green beans, we got all kind of potatoes. We could cook.
Man.
And treat them nice. I mean, treat them nice. Treat them nice. You know what I mean? So they'll never forget.
Yeah.
You know, like we do. You know, like we did when we was out there selling that paper. Well, we talked sweet to our people. We were sweet talking to them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, brother this and brother that. And yeah. Anyway, that's my point. Lord.
Yeah. See, our problem is that all we need to go into business. Because if we go into business, it's going to be automatically we're going to put our best foot forward. You know, we're gonna make the best of everything. It's gonna be good. You know, if you come to a Muslim restaurant, every Muslim restaurant I went to, the food was real, real good. You know, and so I think it's just a matter of us in getting started.
It's
just a matter of us getting started. If we can get started. If we can take that first step and boom, you know, and when you get started, you know, I mean, people are going to support you. You're going to make money. When you buy that first, re-up that first product, you know, you're going to be learning something and it's going to motivate you. It's we're very competitive, we're real competitive. I haven't seen a Muslim yet that just give you anything, you know. You know, we're real competitive. It's just us getting started. I don't know what holds us back from getting started.
Is that right?
Hey, Muhammad, you want to say anything? Muhammad.
Yes, sir. Everybody in the cube. Now, the cube knows the time kind of short, and y'all doing pretty good. The only thing I would like to say real short is short. The key to everything that we're saying. Because our world is halal. It's gonna always be halal. Now, you know, so until we understand, and there's enough halal people to support anything we want to do, we gotta
kind of stick with the name Do For Self, but we got to make sure it means that. It means Do For Self. Do For Self came out of Allah's mercy through the back door using that terminology to show us that we need to do for ourselves, have our own community. The only Elijah Muhammad had a community. You know, it wasn't the Muslim community, but he was preparing it for the Muslim community. And then when we got the opportunity to have the Muslim community by Allah's permission through the life of Imam Warfi Muhammad, we started looking back at how we could have the best of both worlds, they say, your cake and your ice cream too. There's no way in the world that you have want to depend upon the haram or the makru world to support your business. Because a lot of times, Shaitan ain't went nowhere. He going to send a drunker into your restaurant. He going to send a bunch of teenage troublemakers who might be white into your restaurant because you got your doors open and you don't have the spiritual or the faith to naturally let them understand you be your way and we be ours. This is our restaurant. We had to use and pool our pennies to build it, but we built this for us. We didn't build this for you. This is for the believing Muslim and our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren as long as Allah has us here wherever we are on this earth, be it France, United States, whatever, you know. In America, there's an economy in the Muslim world. When I say Muslim world, I'm talking all of the backsliding, hypocrite, whatever they might be type of Muslim, including us. But if we come together, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, there's probably about 30 million Muslims in America. And if we let them know that we are only interested in establishing a model life along with this other world. Now, there could be trade. There still could be business. Once we establish our own perimeter, if people want to come and buy our lambs and buy, they can buy it for their restaurant. They don't need to come into ours. They don't need to make us think that we have to have schools where people of different faiths should attend our school. No, we'll help them with theirs. You know, but let us establish ours. Because we are not the same people. We are people who believe in one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. We believe in Allah this. We believe in Allah that. We don't believe in fornicating. We don't believe our children mixing with people. We have a way of life that doesn't include you. But we will share the benefits of our life with you because they come from Allah, and they for you. If you want to come to our meat processing plant, to buy halal meat, excuse me, alhamdulillah. But you can't come to our halal restaurant drunk. You can't come by our halal restaurant after the nightclub let out. You can't come by our restaurant when the football game let out. If we under that concept, we are just asking ourselves for trouble. When a fight break out. When a lawsuit comes because we have not made our business license, our charter, of that our restaurants, that our businesses are halal, and they are there for service to the people of who believe in one God and Muhammad and his messenger. But if you want to buy our tennis shoes, if you want to buy it to sell in your business, we encourage you to do that instead of you coming to think that you have the freedom to walk in and out of our business. See, that's hard for us to understand. Yes, and until we understand that, we're going to be always wanting to fornicate or milkshake our goals in this world here. You know?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we just have to understand that, and we work our way through it by through our prayers to Allah.
Yes, sir. Now, you know, I had
a
restaurant there in Atlanta. And I didn't have nothing but halal. I wouldn't use nothing that's not halal. You know, everything was halal. Matter of fact, I had most of all the Middle Eastern people coming there because
I found out on a halal diet, and that the African American Muslims, our community, they just didn't eat pork, but they went on a halal diet. So the Middle Eastern brothers, I looked at that one time. I had all women's in my restaurant, you know, and it was full. But the point that I want to make is that this is when you start dealing with just your own and your own religion. This is the problem that I had. I was making my own juices. I had about five or six different juices, you know, that was my own, I had people come from Atlanta, Massachusetts, and other places. When I went to the Massachusetts, went to the restaurant next to Atlanta, they had all my juice displayed, then copied, just stole my recipe, and took it over there in their restaurant, you know, I remember I was selling fruit, you know, and I was known for, you know, cutting up fruit and mangoes and watermelon and all that different thing, you know I make $1,300 a day easy, you know, but I was selling fruit there at the masjid. But I sold it on the outside. Got me a spot on the outside. I had a brother came to me, and he wanted to know where I get my fruit from. Well, I said he wanted to get some cup and things like that. He wanted to sell fruit. I said, okay, hey, no problem, brother. I told him where to get his cups, different cups from. You know, I told him where to get some fruit from, and I looked up and looked around. Sister Zelda coming out of the masjid. Sister Zelda, our older sister, coming out of the masjid with one of my fruits, and with a fruit, and she said, "Shuja, I already got one of your fruits. I had another get a fruit, you know." She said, "I already got mine." And I looked at it. I said, that's not my fruit. I said, where you get that from? Inside of the masjid. The brother made the fruit and set up on the inside of the masjid. The brother charged him, and he set up on the inside of the masjid. So he was getting the people before they came out to buy fruit from me. Am I lying to him?
You're not lying. They're thinking they buying your fruit. Yeah, you're not lying.
Yeah, they thought they were buying my fruit. And this brother, and every time I see this brother, you know, he can't look me straight in the eye. You know,
that's why when we focus on the most important thing we need to do. Is come together, have a legitimate community where people will learn what's halal, what's haram, what's Muslim manners, what's Muslim respect, what undercut my brother means, and they have the type of taqwa where they will respect Allah, and their products should not compete with one another. See, right now you keep forgetting at that time we was different Muslims like we different Muslims now. We're growing every day.
I had a meeting, because the brother was doing that. I had a meeting, and the imam there at the masjid, didn't want to tell the brother not to sell the fruit and thing, even though I was dealing with the fruit. It was many other things he could have did.
Agree with you. Yeah, I'm trying to tell you, but inshallah, we are not like we were then, and like everybody keeps saying, we got a long way to go because we still are looking backwards. Are we looking backwards and forth? We're looking at Mecca 1 minute, then we turn back around and look at Jerusalem. We look at Mecca, and as long as we're in that state, they gotta have you having your head going back and forth thinking that he's going to give you the reward of business or give you the reward of a nice home or give you a reward. But see, what he's doing is stopping you from moving either way. He's stopping us right now. We need to ask them what's holding us back. You know, because we have more than enough people. If they were willing to register and say, I am a citizen of the community of Imam Warby Muhammad here in the United States of America, along with all the other communities, I pay my taxes, I do this, but we have it on paper. And we have people who say, I want to join your community. Because I like, about your leader, and I studied it, I know what kind of people y'all supposed to be, because y'all supposed to be people of the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, and you had a leader that I'm aware of, you know, before God called him back or whatever you called him, you know, in Imam Muhammad. And I know y'all will be honest, clean people. But if they want to buy our products to go sell in their stores, you know, or whatever, then alhamdulillah, that's how we make some extra money.
Yes, sir.
But we got, we got 30 million people in the Muslim community in America. 30 million. Don't you know that 30 million people in America is a gross income of probably at least $10 or $12 trillion a year? We have plenty of money to shoot for, but we have to go at it in a unified way. We have to go at it where it's allowed at and establish it and then protect what is allowed. But like I said, they'll do it.
I was in Chicago, and I got Agba to help me out. I had over 400 pieces of fruit, 400. And I had them iced down and everything, you know. And I set up on the outside of the masjid. People come by and buy my fruit. And there was a brother came out of New Jersey. He was selling fruit. And he was looking for a place to set up it. I said, man, you sit right next to mine. Because his fruit was different shapes than mine. You see what I'm saying? It was different from mine. So I let him sit right up next to me. All them people in the basket in there, I was getting people that were buying fruit to take it up in their room. You know? No, that wasn't fruit. That was pie. I'm sorry. That was pie. He was selling pies. He was selling the big pie. I was selling the 6 inch. You know, and I had over 400 something, and I even had Agba to help me sell. We sold all the pie. You know, and the brother sold his pie, and I sold my pie. You know, if I go and take your idea, you know, and then I cut you short by getting the people before they get to you, knowing that they coming your way. That's what I'm talking about. You know. And that's what happened. You know, the people had to come on the outside of the building. You know, and they were coming out of the masjid. But he was getting the people inside the masjid before he came outside the building because I'm sitting up right there, you know, asking to get fruit.
You know, Jeff Bezos is one of the richest in history in the world. Jeff Bezos with Amazon. He built his business, he say, on customers, what he called customer service.
Yeah.
He looked at how he treated, how his company and how his, you know, how they got that money. And they made it so easy and smooth to get money. All you got to do is get your card out and give them your number, and he'd have that product, like books. I used to buy a lot of books from him. He'd have that product at your door the next day or next 2 days. In other words, his business customer service, how they treated the customer. And he put 80 or 90% of his time and his effort into making it so easy for people to drop that car and get that money.
Alhamdulillah.
And he did over and over and over again for years. In fact, they still do it. The Amazon is one of the sweetest ways, you know, you can give your money up so easy. I'm saying that is how we go in business, and we have a fish market, fish chicken market, fish and chicken or something in a, like a little strip, yeah. A little strip mall. And
yeah.
We got it clean, and we smiling and grinning at the people, make treat them nice, make them feel like king, queen, king and queen.
Absolutely.
Come in there. You know, smiling.
Yeah.
You
now,
know what I mean? We talk about good stuff, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I think that's what we need. That's all we need. That's all we need. Because it's so simple with this little Korean guy. You know, I mean, I buy my little, fish sandwiches from him. But he'll say, thank you very much. Oh, he said, thank you very much. Oh, thank you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Him and his wife. Mm-hmm. His wife comes through there and they bow, you know. And I said, all I want is a piece of fish and some fries and some bread, and I want to go. You know what I mean? I'd be in a hurry. I'd be on a lunch break, whatever, you know. And he supplies that. They supplies. They have found out that you can't treat this African-American grumpy. You can't be grumpy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, like we have different events, and we were setting up, I seen Brother Muhammad set up him and his, I don't know if it was his grandchildren or his children, I don't know, but I have seen him set up also. I don't know whether or not you remember me, but I used to set up, and we were professional at selling. When the poison come out. You know, we knew how to treat our brothers and things. We didn't put no pressure on them or nothing like that. And we were real good I think that we just need to get started again. I think we done learned a whole lot.
Yes, sir.
We done learned
yes, sir.
A whole lot, you know. And we just need to get started again.
A long way,
yes, sir.
Okay. Brother Muhammad, will you close us out, please, sir?
Yeah, yes, sir. Udu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
Thank you. God be blessed, good everybody. Be safe.
Sister Lala, we'll see you tomorrow with those poems that you got. May Allah bless us all. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, sister. Assalamu alaikum.